You think of the potential of power that can be done by just one little spark, fire that can be ignited. Seen or heard of some huge forest fires that have started with just a little spark, maybe just a little ember that was glowing. And you know, sometimes they start from a great, tremendous amount of energy from a lightning strike and all the voltage that's there. But just as big a fire can start from just a little flicker, just a small spark. And we want to look at another force around us, something very powerful that we also know of. But this is something that we haven't really seen ever. Anyone want to venture what that is? Tremendous amount of power. Things have been great things, positive things that have been done with this, and a lot of destruction as well. Actually, never seen it though. The wind. And we know the wind in the scriptures is kind of an emblem or emblematic of the Holy Spirit. And there's many similarities. We'll just look at some of the things about the natural wind that's around us. We know that natural wind is the motion or flow of air or other gases that compose the atmosphere on Earth. We know that there isn't wind on the moon or other stars, or I guess we shouldn't say stars, but it's only where there is atmosphere that there is wind flowing. God created the atmosphere around the earth to sustain life, and we know that it is necessary for life. It's comprised of 98% nitrogen, 21% oxygen, and 1% of various other gases. That's what atmosphere is. So we have this atmosphere, and then depending on where the pressure is or vacuum is, where that's what makes the wind, right? It's not just wind isn't just something that generates by itself, but it's depending where the pressure is or where there is less pressure is what makes the huge storms, because the temperature makes atmosphere to rise in one place and then there's a vacuum, so then the oxygen from another place rushes in, makes the wind, creates the wind. And like I said before, it can be harnessed to be very positive, or it can also at times cause great destruction on things on the earth. The natural winds of the earth are a type and shadow of the various facets of God moving in this supernatural realm. The direction of the natural wind represents spiritual seasons and movements of the Holy Spirit on earth. We'll look at four winds, four directions of the winds, and look at Ezekiel 37, verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Ezekiel 37:9. Then also in Daniel, it says, Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens drove upon the great sea. And the four great beasts came upon the sea, diverse one from another. So we see that have these visions of the winds from the different directions, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea, or they churned the great sea. The first one we want to look at is the north wind and what that could represent in our lives. So the north wind brings, and this is probably, depending on the geographical area we live in, we can relate maybe more to this than others. Here in Creston, we don't necessarily probably have the winds always bringing the same amount of results as from certain areas as what other parts of the world do. Well, there are places where they can pretty much predict what will happen. Wind is usually coming from one direction or the other, and when it changes with the seasons, quite predictable. But anyway, the north wind in general brings unpleasant weather, with violent storms, hail, thunder, and lightning. I think in our lives, the lives of people, it represents times of adversity, times of disappointment, maybe an emptiness in the Christian's life. It can also represent a season when the Holy Spirit brings discipline, correction, and pruning and death in areas of the flesh. This season can be like a cold, or we could say like a harsh northern winter. And it gives us opportunity to embrace the cross or to see that there's something greater that we need. We need to rely on the cross. There's also positive things about the north wind, and I think we've all experienced that as well. We've, even in the physical life, know that the north wind clears away the clouds. Sometimes that block out the sun. Maybe it's been foggy and cloudy for a long time, and the north wind blows in and clears that all away and brings fresh, cold air and helps us to see the sun and the stars again. Brings cleansing and clears away the barriers and pollutions in a physical sense as well as spiritual sense. You know, with the cold north wind, it does things in our country that they don't have in other countries. It brings the cold, can help to get rid of diseases, insects, bugs, other places where they don't have this kind of weather pattern. Those things can flourish, diseases and bugs, and it just perpetually is warm there, and those things can cause damage there as well that we don't necessarily have because of the cold that can drive those away. I think the same thing, the cold or the north wind in the lives of each one of us can do that as well. It can cause us to maybe suffer for a while, but when we draw close to Christ through that, if we allow that to happen, it can help us to again be renewed then and to grow when the seasons change. It can take the cold north wind to harden the crops to produce a great and mature harvest. At times, if it wasn't for that cold frost that this brings, in the natural wise, there wouldn't be a mature harvest. So let's be inspired with that. All right, next one we want to look at is the south wind. It brings the summer heat that will ripen and sweeten the harvest. It represents the quiet comfort of the Holy Spirit. It is the season of warmth, contentment, prosperity, and refreshment, which leads to growth and pleasure. I think it's usually pretty positive when we think of the south wind. We all enjoy the south wind, especially if it's in the fall time or winter and south wind blows for a while and feels so good. We enjoy those pleasant breezes. Well, in Job 37, verse 17, it says, "How their garments are warm when he quieteth the earth by the south wind." Picture, word picture there, or something that we can relate to. We can enjoy the warmth of the weather, especially if we've been somewhere where it's been cold for a long time and then the winds shift and the warm breezes blow for a while. We all enjoy that. I think we also know we need those times in our life too, don't we? We face adversity for a while and we can be strengthened and draw close to God, but when He blesses us with the comfort of the Holy Spirit, things go well, we can be refreshed and be inspired. We also need those times. And then the east wind, in the Bible we know it's called the Euroclydon, and we're not probably quite as familiar with the destruction or the some of the negative things of the east wind that they do face in other countries, but in Israel here, east wind would have blown in across from the desert, bringing sandstorms and blazing heat. And I'll just go to Genesis 41, verse 27. Genesis 41, verse 27 to 29 shows here, this is Joseph's interpreting Pharaoh's dream. The seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty years blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. So the east wind here was shown to bring this famine. The east wind also comes as a refining fire. In the book of Exodus, the east wind is shown creating 7 years of famine. And yet it also parted the waters of the Red Sea so that Israelites could escape. So there was also a positive aspect in this as well. Even though that it's generally thought of as bringing severe heat, it was also a chance for them to progress as well. I think, doesn't that happen in our lives too? Maybe we face the sand storms at times, the blazing heat, and seems everything is against us and we're drying out, but it also hardens our resolve if we are faithful to Christ. Helps us to have the stamina to continue on. Then the west wind brings the winter rains essential to agriculture in many parts of the world. And I guess generally our rains are brought by the west wind as well. Moisture is picked up over the ocean and carried inland, usually in this part of the side of the continent, at least by the west winds. West wind also brings relief from summer heat. I think it represents seasons of spiritual refreshing and renewal. It speaks of provisions or refreshments. That's what we think of as rain, right? An answer to prayer and harvest. It brings blessings, breakthroughs, and great fruitfulness in the sunset of each day. Of that in Numbers 11, verse 31. We know in their time, in Numbers there, the west wind brought the quail from the sea. And I think in our lives too, God brings many blessings to us that could be represented by the west wind. Prophet Joel spoke of abundant showers, both fall and spring rains, when God would pour out the Spirit on all people, in Job 2, verse 23 and 28. Also, in the Exodus story, the east wind brought the locust plague upon Egypt. And then when Pharaoh repented, it was the west wind that carried the locusts away into the sea. So there as well, it brought refreshment or blessing on them in that land. So as we look at these, we see that each of the four winds represents seasons and times of change that will happen in each one of our lives while living on this planet. Some may seem bad, most will be good, but they will all be used to draw a Christian closer to his master. We all experience storms as well. And one of the things that happens at times in storms are whirlwinds, when we have wind currents converging, causes a whirlwind. And we want to look a little bit at the eye of the storm in the middle of a whirlwind, whether it's a small one or a great big tornado. There's an area that we call the eye of the storm. And we want to look at that. First of all, though, in relation to whirlwinds, throughout the Bible, whirlwinds indicate the power and might of God. He is most often found in the storm. You know that in Nahum 1 verse 3, it says, "The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm." And then God also answered Job out of the whirlwind in Job 38 verse 1. So when we think we are caught up in the whirlwind of this life, maybe something is happening around us, going on, and we think we're in the whirlwind, let's remember that God is the God of the whirlwind. He's in the presence of the storm. You know, the eye of the storm is a circular area of comparatively light wind in the center of a rotating storm. It is the calmest part. Surrounding the eye is the eye wall. It's called the eye wall. It's almost complete ring or perfect ring that contains very strong and violent winds. This very strong violent wind is separated by a very small distance, and in the middle there's hardly any wind at all. I'm not sure, they don't really know how that exactly happens or creates that sense hole there. It has to do with centrifugal force, keeping the wind far enough away. But anyway, we think in a spiritual sense, when the storms of life rise up and begin to pull a person under, and when the whirlwinds of trial and tribulation begin to blow, and the desert wilderness is all around, the Christian must learn to reach into the center of this storm, deep into the center where this peaceful place of God's presence is, the eye of the storm. I think every storm that we face, every storm that we are battling, in the center of that, there is also a place of calm where Christ is. We know he's never far away. Our God isn't a God that stands on the edge of the storm and watches his children battling their way through and hope that they'll make it through so they can come to him and be comforted. No, God is right there in the middle of our storms. And so often we are trying to fight our way to the outside, hoping that we can somehow get to a calmer place, and we don't maybe have the faith to go into the center of it to find God there. The whirlwinds of change within the storms of life and desert experiences are to draw Christians into his intimate presence. We'll look at another aspect of our lives here, not necessarily having to do with wind, but not all storms have whirlwinds. There are some places we find ourselves that are, you could say, the wilderness, the desert wilderness. And we all face those as well. It could be whether it's a family member moving away from God, or maybe we face betrayal. These are times we feel like we are maybe in a desert place. But we know that God is also there, and he also has these experiences for us. Doesn't mean that God is always displeased with us when we face that. We know that God, when Jesus came on earth, God said in a loud voice, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." Or he was pleased with Jesus anyway. Luke 4 verse 1. Right after that, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So he was led by the Spirit. And he was then in the wilderness for quite a while. But too often we think of the wilderness experience as punishment because of disobedience or personal sin. But it's maybe because God wants us to draw close to him, to use this as a time to grow in our relationship with him. Periods in the desert are supposed to bring a person to a deeper reliance on Jesus, a trust in him, maybe because there are no distractions. Sometimes our journey in the wilderness might be 40 days, and sometimes it might be 40 years. You know, we can't really say how long our time in the wilderness will be. But we need to, whatever time we are there, to try to see God more, see and understand him more, and let our faith grow. Nourishment and strength for preparation come in the desert. You know, Apostle John, while he was exiled on the prison island of Patmos, received his revelation there. All right, another thing that we face are the clouds of darkness. Also sounds negative, doesn't it? Clouds of darkness, we usually don't think of them as very positive. But Psalm 97, verse 2 says, "Cloud and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne." So again, showing that God is also in the presence of clouds and darkness. Our clouds and darkness that we experience, God is also there. When a person finds clouds of darkness forming over them in the midst of the storm, they shouldn't be dismayed. But rather, we should be encouraged. We should rejoice because we know we are nearing the secret place of the Most High. And Psalm, I'll just go to Psalm 91 to read that verse, actually. Psalm 91, verse 1. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Showing that the presence of God is there as well. All right, looking at the conclusion now, breaking through. The new life in Christ has been firmly built on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus and can't be destroyed by whirlwinds or the storms of circumstances that we face. And a lot of how we make out in the storms, different winds that we face, is going to depend on our attitude, our outlook. And a new and positive attitude will emerge when our choices are made to see God in these situations, maybe to actually go into the center of the storm, into the eye of the storm, enter into God's place of peaceful rest. And by seeing the desert wilderness as a place of preparation, not something that we just need to endure and somehow just wait for him to bring us into a more pleasant place, but rather to see this as a preparation This determination is what we need to make in our hearts. We know that peace is a state of mind. In Romans 8, verse 6 says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, when the hearts and minds of a Christian are set on God and Christ is in control of our life, he can guard us. He can harness those powers of those winds around us and help to use that energy to carry us on to greater heights. But if we don't rely on him, if we don't have him in control of our lives, then we know that the winds will destroy us too. There's nothing that we of ourselves can do to harness that power. It doesn't much matter how much turmoil and calamity there is around us. But as long as our lives have an inner calm, we can be carried through. You know, I think I read a quote, I'm not sure who said it first, but said, circumstances have no power over you one way or the other. It is what you do with them that determines the quality of your life. So, like we have no control over which direction the wind is coming to us, the same way we have no control over the things that happen to us in life, but what we allow it to do with us then is what's going to make the difference. Getting through the storms of life and surviving in the desert is done by trusting God. So as Christians, let's learn to embrace the eye of the storm. Let's allow God's peace to fill our hearts and let's enjoy the peace with him, peace with one another, peace with the people around us, and have also, for sure, have peace within. Let's kneel for prayer.